not a head dream. That the world had turned around. And all our hopes had come to be. And people gathered around. And they all brought what they could bring. And nobody went without. I learned a song to sing. The revolution starts now.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, and we are brought to you by New West Records, and we play music around here on Sunday nights. We invite people to come in and bring their records and, you know, play us the stuff that they're listening to and that they think we ought to be listening to. And this week, our guest is novelist Ray Robertson, who I've never read one of your books, but I know a lot of people that have because I spend a lot of time in Canada. Uh-huh. And this book, Moody Food, I guess it's just coming out in paperback in the States. That's why you're...
Now we're taking over America.
Yeah. Cool. Well, now, did you run into... I saw... I've spent a lot of time up there. Did you see the editorial in the Globe and Mail a few years ago where that was basically the gist of it was when Canada is annexed into the United States, not
well,
if.
You know,
there are people that actually talk like that.
I do review books for the Globe and Mail, but it does have that that point of view.
But,
you know, things have changed a bit since that little liberation you guys were involved with down there in Iraq.
So yeah,
we're not
quite
as comfortable with...
Thank God. thank God. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about music, because music figures very heavily into this book, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you're from Canada, and connecting up the two countries, because they aren't the same country.
I'm here to build
bridges. Thank God they're not the same country.
Well,
and Ronnie Hawkins, and you know, the connection is Ronnie Hawkins, the band.
And the Canadian boys, some Canadian kids, and Ronnie comes up to Canada and strikes them up, and they do this crazy version of Who Do You Love with this incendiary break by Robbie Robertson. It's 1963. It sounds like 77. It sounds like pure punk.
Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks on Air America Radio.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. Use a cobra snake for a necktie. Got a brand new house on the roadside, made from rattlesnake hide. I got a brand new chimney made on top, made from a human skull. Now come on, baby, let's take a little walk and tell me who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Eileen took me by the hand and said, ooh, daddy, I understand. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Black and the night was blue, and around the corner an ice wagon flew. I thought was a hit, Lord, if somebody screamed, you should have heard just what I seen. Now who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? I got a tombstone hand and a graveyard mind. I live long enough and I ain't scared of dying. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love?
Ronnie Hawkins on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Ray Robertson, and his book Moody Food is out in paperback. And there is a music connection in this book. I've heard people, you know, Graham Parsons' name seems to come up when people talk about this book.
Yeah, well, I was a kid, you know, pre-alt country. You had to find Graham in the used record bins. And I had heard the story about this guy who died in the desert, you know. So it just was very much just like.
I was lucky. I had no idea he wasn't a big star because in San Antonio was one of those little pockets of places where he was played on rock radio.
Yeah. Well, I mean, bootleg. The Burrito Brothers were. I think you said you were at the show that I have a bootleg of, the one where. Where is that?
Houston. He played Armadillo World Headquarters, but the show I was at was two nights later at Liberty Hall.
That's
in Houston.
The one I have.
Yeah, which is a really.
At the end, there's some weird. Who comes up on stage? Like Lynn Ronstadt comes up. And,
I think there was a lot of people there. That's a really, really famous show.
How big
show.
Is that? How big is that place? Like how many people
tiny?
Would have been
like
there?
I mean, it's an old movie theater. It's 1,100 people. I saw Little Feet there. The first time I saw Bruce Springsteen was there. You know, it was a club in Houston, a really cool place, and a place I never got to play before it.
Well, and it's gone now, right?
No, it was just one of those places in the 70s and 80s that was owned by Coke dealers in Austin and Houston. You know, like all other nightclubs were in the 70s and 80s. But this is you brought in this flying. Burrito Brothers tracks, which this is actually Graham Parsons' second band, the Burrito Brothers.
And this to me is the essence of Graham in the sense. I mean, I love those two solo albums. They're like beautiful, progressive country. But these guys were just, you know, with the combination of, you know, distorted pedal steel and...
Yeah, it was off the hook.
It really is. And the lyrics are not traditional country stuff. And it's got a rock and roll sensibility. And
made in the ashes of the birds out of that house out in the valley. The whole band living in one house.
Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of that goes into Moody Food because the band, the book, the Duckhead Secret Society, and it's kind of got that. It's got a real funk to it. And this song, the Train Song, is everything. I mean, it's not a great... Like Chris Hillman disowns it. I wrote half it. I hate this song. But to me, it's got this... It's got Clarence White on it, Leon Russell.
God love me, he's one of my favorite people in the world, but he disowns a lot of stuff that
it's crazy. This song is so funky, and it's got this crazy distortion on it, and a big gospel kind of rave up at the end. It's just great.
This is the Flying Burrito Brothers on Air America Radio. Graham Parsons, Chris Hillman, you know, Pete Kleinow, Chris Etheridge, the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Guest appearance by Clarence White.
Clarence White. And whoever the drummer that would put up with them that day. they never.
Probably not Michael Clark. He just wasn't a country drummer.
No, he wasn't. They never really locked into a drummer.
No. Especially some of those live bootlegs. It's just brutal sometimes. He's in a whole different place.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records on Air America Radio.
Keep moving on. Move on down the line. And went to the train.
This is Steve Earle. You're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, and we are brought to you by New West Records. And our guest this week is Ray Robertson, whose new book, Moody Food, is this is set in Toronto in what, 66?
Yeah, 66, yeah.
And why that period of time in this particular
Yeah, I tied the two together. I mean, I always wanted to write a book sort of based on Graham, you know, this very charismatic figure who also, you know, was kind of an ass. You know, like a lot of people who are charismatic and want to get what they need, they use people, but they're brilliant and that kind of thing. And I was too lazy to sit in California, and I was always obsessed with also Yorkville, which was like the Hyde Ashbury of Canada.
Right.
And, of course, then the developers want to turn to a big shopping mall, which they did. But and before that happened, you know, it happens. That's if you go to Toronto and you're a movie star now, that's where you go. You go to Yorkville because it's got, you know, the $400 poodle haircuts and stuff. But at
right.
one time, just a bunch of old Victorian buildings that hippies took over. And so that's where Neil Young and Joni Mitchell all got their start and stuff.
Right.
So I just made Thomas Graham, who's sort of based on the Graham character, sort of a draft resistor because a lot of them ended up in Yorkville.
Ah, well, that makes sense because, you know, there are a lot of people. I remember being in Nashville in 1974 after the – or 75 after the amnesty.
Right, right.
And Jesse Winchester played at the Exit Inn, his very first, you know, tour in the United States after leaving.
Yeah, well, he came to Canada at that time and made his albums up there. And
yeah, he ended up living – he ended up settling in Montreal before it was all over with. He lived
right.
several places. I think he came in out west and sort of traveled all across
yeah.
the country before
yeah, well,
he figured
Vancouver
out where he
was a big
go.
Place too because – because the Brito Brothers song, right? Vancouver may be just my kind of town.
Yeah,
right?
No, I actually have recorded that song.
Oh, I know,
called,
yeah.
Called My Uncle, and
yeah.
it's really – we find it really appropriate lately.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
great. So there are a lot of people in Yorkville. So I just sort of put the two together, Yorkville in 67 and Thomas Graham is sort of prototype of Parsons and – also a bit of Brian Wilson. So I was listening to a lot of, you know, pre-Smile comebacks from Smile, the real bootlegs.
Right.
A guy in Texas, this little record store, that he gave me all these great bootlegs and just blew my mind. So I just thought of Moody Food as a project of sort of a Brian Wilson slash Tom
cool.
Graham Parsons character, you know.
That's cool. This band, the Deadly Snakes, this is a Canadian band.
Yeah, it's a Canadian band. And they broke up like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. We did a whole Slater Kinney memorial show here. When Slater Kinney broke up, it broke my heart.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that a drag when a band is you really dig
yeah.
and not
especially
everybody's
now that I'm
hard.
Getting old and I don't go out anymore. But these guys, I'd always like make sure to, you know, round up my boys and go out and see these guys and act stupid. But the last show I got, they always handed out like sort of tambourines in Morocco. So I got a Morocco the last show. But it turns out the guy was handing it to his sister. The organ player, you know,
and you intercepted.
So somebody
it?
Said, "Man,
you short stopped
him. You bumped his sister." But I've got the Morocco from the last Deadly Snake show. So
cool, Deadly Snakes on Air America Radio.
Oh, my girl, wrote my name across your
Deadly Snakes on Air America Radio. That's really, really a cool track. I'll have to. It's a drag. I've just found out about band after they broke up.
Yeah,
what a bummer.
The album to get is Ode to Joy. It's the album, and this is typical too of like a great band with, you know, not a major. That album is an import in Canada because they can only get it released in the States.
Really?
Which is just completely bizarre. Some little label out in L.A. So costs like $22.
It's funny about Canada. Canada is where I sold the most records per capita in my career. I mean, like
true?
In the 80s. Oh, absolutely. Copperhead Road sold 460,000-470,000 records in the first year it was out in Canada, which is a quadruple platinum record on its way to being five times platinum. It was – we played the arenas there. It's the only place I ever toured.
Well,
and
I know the live
arenas.
Album was, yeah. was taped or made there.
Yeah, the live record was made there on the next tour. I mean, it was weird. It was sort of deceptive because it was everywhere but Toronto. Toronto, we never got above Massey Hall. But every place else – we were playing big hockey rinks. We played the Saddle Dome in Calgary.
Makes me feel
and
good
we played,
to be
it was, it was – yeah, it was it was one of those things. It was like, and a lot of, trying to figure out why, but I think there's a great singer-songwriter tradition in Canada that goes back a long way. And I think that the Canadian content rule worked in my favor in the sense that country radio, when it started out, which it was very small in Canada in the 80s, had to stretch the definitions of, country radio in Canada in those days played Neil Young and played, they had to stretch the definition of what was Canadian and what was country.
Problem.
So it kind of made, I got more airplay there. And then they didn't mind playing me on rock radio either. They just weren't. Now I think radio in Canada is formatted as any place else.
Terrible.
But in those days, it wasn't. Well, this is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Ray Robertson, brought to you by New West Records. Be back. To the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio. We are brought to you by New West Records, and our guest this week is novelist Ray Robertson, whose new book is Moody Food, and he brought in a bunch of cool music. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and you've spent some time in Texas.
Yeah.
That probably had a lot to do with this book existing.
Yeah, it did.
Too.
Well, I forget the name of the station in Austin. They would play Nirvana right beside Willie Nelson, and it sort of was, I was like, these guys get it,
So what year would this have been?
This would have been like 93 through 97.
Yeah. Cool.
And that was the period where this was sort of percolating my mind. I wanted to write this novel first, but I had to figure out how to write. So I had to write three other ones first to sort of, get there. Because, I set this book the year I was born. Your first novels are always about you growing up.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
Problems with your girlfriend.
That's what I did. The book I'm working on, I set it in 1963 in San Antonio because I remember, I hung it around things that happened like the Kennedy assassination and other things just because they were big events in my life and that time frame.
Yeah. That's important part of all my books, and there's a lot of me and it's sort of the character. It's sort of a Gagsby deal where Bill Hansen, he's this guy from the suburbs of Toronto. He gravitates toward Yorkville like any 18-year-old would at that time, who would half a brain, and he hangs around Thomas. But you get bored, you want to do different things,
right?
So
we had a lot of good local rock bands. I thought the Kinks were from San Antonio because I thought that Ray Davies sort of sounded like a Mexican, and all the best bands had Mexican lead singers, and so I thought they were, somebody had to tell me they were from England.
I never thought.
And
that.
The Sir Douglas Quintet got their record deal because it was a period of time when you couldn't get arrested if you weren't from England, and so they were actually passed off as an English band before anybody found out that
I've seen those early promo pictures, and they turn all the dark skinned guys away from the camera, right?
They actually shot them in silhouette so you couldn't tell there were three Mexicans in the band. And you picked out a Doug Somm track for me. And
this is the most political song I know. This is at the heart of it, man.
Doug Somm on Air America Radio.
Stone faces don't lie. Baby, when you're high. Stone faces don't lie. Baby, when you're high. The other day, saw a picture of an old friend of mine.
Doug Somm on Air America Radio. Man, I miss him. He's like the. I saw him right after I got out of jail, the first farm aid that I did, and he's the only person in the world that talked more and faster than I did. And he said, "Hey man, it's really good to see you." And I'm like, you know, and he used the word cat more than he said, you know, that thing back, you know, to the 50s. So hey man, it's really good to see you. And he said, hey, I told everybody you're gonna be all right. Everybody told me, man, you better talk to Steve. And I said, man, you can't talk to Steve. He's a San Antonio cat. That was it, you know. And then we talked about baseball.
Did you ever see him during like his prime, like the 70s?
Yeah. I saw the Sir Douglas Quintet, you know, like on like the local like teen dance show. And I saw they played proms and stuff. Of course, it was before I was in high school, so right. I never actually saw a whole gig, but I saw him on TV a lot. And then I saw he moved back from California to Texas just before I moved to Nashville, and he sort of had this residency at a place called Soap Creek Saloon in Austin, and it was like a one night a week gig. And he right before I dropped out of high school, he moved back to the neighborhood that I lived in. We grew up in the same neighborhood, and his daughter, his stepdaughter, his wife at the time's daughter, went to school with me, and I dropped out. She was younger than I was. I'd already dropped out, and I remember his wife. I was busking at the convenience store across the street from where I'd been to high school, and his wife gave me like $5, and that was as close as I got to him then. But then I met him later on at Soap Creek, and he was hanging around the whole time we made Copperhead Road. And Doug Somm lived on Vancouver Island for about 2 years in the mid 1980s. Yeah, he showed up at one of my shows on the Copperhead tour, and you know he came on the bus and said hey, and I said hey man, what's going on? And then 3 days later in Calgary he was still on the bus. It turned out he was riding the crew bus, and I had no idea that we had Doug Somm on the road with us. This Richard Thompson track that you brought in, Rickard, is this
from? Is off his first solo album, Henry the Human Fly, reputedly the worst selling record in the history of whatever label that
you're
on.
It's a great record.
It's an amazing record. You know, and it sounds like this is a cliche, but it sounds timeless.
Doug Somm,
it sounds
on like Air America Radio.
3 centuries ago,
man,
but
I miss him. He's like, I saw him right after I got out of jail, the first farm aid that I did. And he's the only person who really talked more and faster than I did. And he said, hey,
storm in the wind, the cutthroat must bend, the tree cutthroat.
again after me. I knew I was standing on treacherous ground. I was sinking too fast to run free. With a screaming, I'd always you left me gone off. A storm in a wind cut through to my skin. She cut through to my blood. I would not be asking, I would not be seen. Begging on mountain or hill. But I'm ready and blind with my hands tied behind. I'm neither a mind nor a will. With a scheme.
Richard Thompson on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records. You're listening to the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, and our guest this week is Ray Robertson. And we were talking before we started recording about this Dillard and Clark record, which I actually had literally forgotten about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a huge Dillard fan. Doug Dillard was one of the first people I met he was the one Dillard in Nashville when I got there in 1974. Yeah, and he'd sort of just pop up in the weirdest places.
You read these stories, I just can't imagine him in 1974.
For, you know, those of you that are like Andy Griffith Show, you know, like fans, the Dillards are the
bluegrass band. Yeah.
Yeah, they're the bluegrass band. They're the hillbillies that come down out of the hills, the Darling family. Those were the Dillards. And during that time when they were making those Andy Griffith shows, the Dillards were camped out. There were this bluegrass band camped out in Topanga Canyon, and there was a lot of weird stuff going on up there. There were hillbilly.
Which is probably why Gene Clark was attracted to Dillard. And
right.
That album is great, The Fantastic Expedition of Dillard and Clark.
I know a lot of people that were around that. Peter Rowan was right, around at the time in and out, because he lived in the Bay Area, but he was in L.A. a lot. A lot of people from the Southeastern. And that's what most people don't realize. You know, we were talking earlier about the Burrito Brothers, is Chris Hillman had a real background in bluegrass music.
Yeah,
he was in the Hillman. Yeah. With Vern and Rex Gosden, right, which was a really, really great bluegrass band in the 60s. And these guys kind of all came out of folk music, and there were some really hardcore bluegrass players that sort of ended up at L.A. And probably wasn't a good idea for these guys to get together, but this is a really, really great record.
Probably shortened their lives. Well, fortune's gone, but yeah.
Yeah. This is Dillard and Clark on Air America Radio.
She wore a blue dress when she walked in. My name.
Dillard and Clark on Air America Radio. That may be the most successful, you know, marriage of five-string banjo and drums ever on a record. Because people have tried to do it, and it's been really bad. Yeah, that's a cool record.
It's so endearing, too, to think that they thought they could get that on the radio. Like, now you wouldn't even try. You just, you know, but they thought this could be a hit. Which is beautiful, you know, a beautiful idea.
Well, there was a lot of stuff going on. We were talking about John Hartford, and you know, that, you know, we know about John Hartford because he wrote "Gentle on My Mind," and Glenn Campbell, you know, was like as from Arkansas as you can get, and he still is from Arkansas as you can get, even though he lives in Arizona. But he, it just there was great music around those shows, and it's pretty amazing. I was lucky enough to get to. The reason that anybody even knows about me is I met Towns Van Zandt when I was, you know, 16 years old. And coming from Texas, I knew who he was because he was a local hero. And then I met him, and I spent a lot of time trying to convince people of what I believed that he was the greatest songwriter that had ever lived, you know, when he was alive. And now he's gone, but I do have, you know, the consolation that people are starting to figure out how good he was.
Well, I love that this cuts from I think the album, the song is originally off High Low in Between, I'm not sure, or Late Great, one of the two.
Lives the Flies on High Low in Between.
Right. But this is the live version off I think it's called Rain on a Conga Drum from Berlin. It's 91.
Right.
So it's like the voice has got all that weathered wisdom to it, but it's not ragged. It's just and the thing that blows me about this song is it, you know, the way he delivers it, it's kind of weary, but I always find it so uplifting too.
This is one of the ones that trust me, it's one of the best Towns Van Zandt songs, and it's one of the people that were there from the beginning and listened to Towns Van Zandt all their lives. It's always in the top three.
I couldn't think of any other way to end tonight.
It's Towns Van Zandt on Air America Radio.
Won't say I love you, babe. Won't say I need you, babe. But I'm gonna get you, babe. And I will not do you wrong. Living's mostly wasting time. I waste my share of mine. But it never feels too good, so let's don't take too long. Well, you're soft as glass, and I'm a gentle man. We got the sky to talk about, and the world to lie upon. Days up and down they come, like rain on a conga drum. Forget most, remember some, but don't turn none away. Everything is not enough, and nothing is too much to bear. Where you've been is good and gone, all you keep is the getting there. Well, to live's to fly, low and high. So shake the dust off of your wings and a sleep out of your eye. Goodbye to all my friends. It's time to go again. To think all the poetry and a picking down the line. I'll miss the system here. The bottom's low and the treble's clear. But it don't pay to think too much on things you leave behind. Well, it may be gone, but it won't be long. I'll be bringing back the melody and the rhythm that I find.
Towns Van Zandt on Air America Radio, and you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. He is the late great Towns Van Zandt. Now, he thought that was really funny when he put that record. Yeah, it was like, you know, I mean, that was the record that was out when I met him. And
wow,
you know,
that's a great album.
Yeah, my copy of High Low and In Between, the record that To Live's to Fly On, is like I ruined it trying to learn the words to Mr. Mud and Mr. Gold, just picking up the arm and putting it back down again, trying to hear all the lyrics.
That's right. You say in the I saw the documentary, and you were telling me that's how you shut him up one night at some at the Oak Club, right?
Was at the Old Quarter. There's also a live record, Towns fans at the Old Quarter. It was at that place. He was literally sitting in front of the little stage, which is about the size of four apple boxes, with his feet on the stage. And there's two other people in the club besides Towns, and then the club owner's dog, who fell in love with another dog right in front of the stage or in the middle of my set. And my hero's heckling me, you know. And it's like, play the Wabash Cannonball. And I had to admit that I didn't know the Wabash Cannonball. And then so I finally played Mr. Mud and Mr. Gold, and he shut up.
That's great.
You know, it's one of those. That's how I met Towns Van Zandt.
Our
guest this week has been Ray Robertson, and this book is called Moody Food. And you actually have a novel later than this, but we're talking about this one right now because it's just being published in the States.
Yeah.
And check it out, and it's
your bookstore doesn't have it. You can order it,
and you should be able to find this in your bigger bookstores.
Yeah,
and if not, then, you know, Amazon works.
Yeah.
You can that's how you find my books. There's no doubt about that.
Buy
them
both. Go online and get them both.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. we're pimping books here. This has been a gas.
Yeah,
enjoyed
great,
it, I'll hopefully see you up north. Our guest has been Ray Robertson. This is Steve Earle. You're listening to the Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records on Air America Radio. Good night, y'all.